peace, my friends. Welcome to yet another episode of In Defense of Liberation, the show that is working towards and educating about true people's liberation movements and revolution. I'm your host, Josh, and I wanted to come on here to make a little call out to the movement and a little critique of myself and others who, you know, call themselves organizers, who call themselves community members, who say that they are involved in movement work, because this is the month of Black August. And if we don't know what Black August is, allow me to just give a little brief introduction. I would suggest that anybody who wants to learn more look into the Black August teach-in guide that we at the Black Alliance for Peace with the Prisoner Solidarity, or I should say Prisoner Support Committee, put together for the month of August. And I would really encourage anybody that can, I know there's only a couple weeks left, to try to take this document forward and actually hold an event of some sort to educate people about the importance of this month and also about why it is we commemorate freedom fighters like George Jackson, Jonathan Jackson, and really lift up the folks who were a part of the movements in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and since then, like the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, the Black Liberation Army, and other organizations that have worked towards the advancement of African liberation, both on the continent of Africa and around the world. So Black August, really quick, is a month to study, fast, train, and organize. The Hood Communist document that we plan to study together in the Northeast Regional Meetup of the BAP Solidarity Network, check that out if you're around the area, focuses on the practices that are put into place by organizations that take this month and this organizing seriously. I want to throw out a self-critique. I myself have done a terrible job of committing to any of these things, and also have done a terrible job of doing what I wanted to do this month, which was quit smoking tobacco. So folks, call me out. Ask me if I'm, you know, done smoking that shit. Make me feel bad about it. And make me feel bad about not taking this month seriously, because it is serious and it's very important. And that's really what I want to talk about today. I said I want to put a call out to the movement. Now, before I really get into what I want to talk about, I want to criticize this use of even the terminology movement and ask ourselves, what is a movement? Can a movement really be something that is united? Can a movement really be politically united? Can a movement where anyone can come in and come out at ease and act as an independent member within organizations or other places and spaces as if they deserve or have some kind of ultimate respect for simply giving a shit about oppressed people, giving a shit about changing the exploitative system we live in? We call ourselves organizers. We call ourselves movement workers. We call ourselves revolutionaries or radicals. But what is the content of the work we're putting forward? What is the quality? What is the genuine nature of the supposed organizing that we are doing? Is it changing or shifting the material conditions or the consciousness of the majority of the population? Is it bringing about a situation where revolutionary change can happen, where political power can be shifted into the hands of the masses? If not, then we should self-criticize time and time again, every time we fall short of these objectives. Because until we actually build an organization, a collective, a community, a struggle, or a so-called movement that practically and correctly works against and builds against the material conditions, politicizes them, brings people into struggle, into participation, into organizations, until we see a sincere qualitative shift also in the organizations which already exist, or a qualitative shift in the organizations which are being created, we will see a continuation of the very same conditions, the very same circumstances we live in, because nothing different, nothing worth joining, nothing meaningful will stick out to people in a way that will bring them into the struggle. That much is clear by the fact that so many people around the world would have a legitimate reason to struggle against oppression, and yet so many of us continue to passively participate in our own and the oppression of others. We know many of the criticisms that I or someone else can put forward of the different organizations and groups that exist in the movement today. But we also know that if we are to criticize, we must first and foremost study, and we must also offer, either materially or in strategy and tactics, an opposing or alternative practice. If we criticize just to criticize, if we do not study, if we do not research, if we simply talk to talk, we are wasting our breath, because nobody's listening. Nobody cares. The people who do care will be among ourselves, people who will be criticized. And we know nobody likes to be criticized. We also know that the people who care already care. So when we continue to battle amongst ourselves on these simplistic lines, or we continue to form factions against ourselves, we are really shooting ourselves in the foot, because already we kind of exist in an echo chamber. Of course, once you get involved in the movement, you kind of are talking to, yeah, at first a lot of new people, a lot of new groups, a lot of new collectives. But eventually, if you're in the movement for a bit, again, this term movement just loosely flies out of my mouth, you know that eventually you start seeing and meeting and being around a lot of the same people. And a lot of these same people know each other. And a lot of those same people know others. And so, unless we really revolutionize these spaces and make them open to others, unless we really go out into our communities and build deeper relationships with people in our workplaces, in our churches, in our mosques, in our schools, we will be incapable of actually changing fundamentally not only the thoughts and ideas and behaviors of everyday people who we want to sit and belittle and battle with, but we will also be incapable of changing the actual quality of the organizations that we belong to. Because what's it matter if your organization calls itself socialist or calls itself revolutionary or calls itself this or that or the third, uses a slogan, what have you, posts on social media, if you don't really do anything that's real or legit or actually revolutionary? So we say, first and foremost, all of this with the intention not of belittling what has been done and saying that it's useless or saying that it's unimportant or saying that it's meaningless. But we say all of this to say that the quality can be improved. For the first time in a long time, I think a lot of us are starting to believe that things can change. As we come into these places, these organizations, we start talking with people who are in the movement again. Shit, dude, I swear to God. Folks who are organizing, folks who are involved in their communities and have been doing this for a bit, we, you know, kind of take on their confidence. We take on their encouragement. And we feel, for the first time in our lives, sometimes, that we, ourselves, can actually do something about the lives we live, can actually change the conditions we have to deal with. But if we just sit with that, if we're just encouraged by that idea, and we don't, you know, take that forward and bring that encouragement to others, then we're really failing anything that could be, because we are segmenting ourselves, we're limiting our numbers, and also by that very nature, limiting the quality of what we could be. Because if we stop with, say, 10, 15, 50, 100 people who have some, you know, pretty good ideas, some decent analysis, maybe a cutthroat, you know, dissection of capitalism, and we just talk to ourselves and write books and record podcasts, we're not going to get anywhere. Because it's super easy in, like, you know, a space you've created that you're comfortable or content in to just remain contented with that quality of work. But it's really when we go out and talk to others, when we put the test to the work we're doing of others' opinions, that we see the true nature of what we're doing. And so we don't want to do that. It's so funny. We don't want to go talk to people because we don't want to find out that we're doing something wrong. We don't want to criticize others because then we might be criticized. We don't want to go out and do something new or try something different because we don't want to fail. But we're failing right now. We're failing every day that we don't commit seriously to these efforts. You know, I and others are failing every single day that we don't actually act upon in a real militant fashion
the ideas and the analysis that we've been able to come to an understanding of, and we've been able to learn from other people. Other people who are really doing shit. And instead, we're content to just say, oh yeah, you know, so-and-so, oh, that's the comrade. Or, you know, I'm over here and I'm doing this for the meantime, but, you know, that's just because things over here, they're complicated. They're tricky, right? Everything's tricky. If we want, we can always find an excuse. But this is the thing. I don't think that I can look myself in the mirror for a whole lot longer continuing to do the type of work that I've been doing. And I really don't think that I can continue to feel any sense of confidence if I continue to see the lack of results because of the quality of work that I've committed to. The lack of consistency, the lack of deep investigation, the lack of concise and clear analysis and deep, you know, relations with other human beings. Because many of our, you know, collectives are without this material practice, we suffer in the long term because we are not actually developing. We're not advancing. We're not moving forward ourselves or others. And that's not to say that we need to be the ones to push other people forward, but we all know that whether it's us or other people, it really takes a village to get anybody to move into an uncomfortable practice or behavior, or change the comfortable behaviors and patterns that they've formed in order to develop new revolutionary practices. It's very hard for organizations that's been around for even a month to shift and change what they've been doing and how they've been doing it. But if it wasn't hard, it wouldn't be worth it. And if we didn't commit to the hard work that, you know, really changing the world on a correct and scientific basis will take, if we don't really commit to this now, before we're even in the hardest and most desperate positions that we will be, then how are we going to make it through the difficult times to come? How are we going to make it through things like state repression, incarceration, assassinations? How are we going to make it through harassment, losing our jobs, losing friends? How are we going to build up in the vacuum a collective and communal practice that is different, that develops different and unique organizations that draw people in, not only because of their rhetoric, but more because of the actual practice of putting their money where their mouth is, either literally or figuratively? And lastly, we know that a lot of us don't commit to taking on these criticisms, to shifting fundamentally the work that we are doing, because some of us really believe we're doing shit well. And that is even more depressing. Because look around, folks. Do you really believe deep down in your heart that the quality of the organizers that are in the different spaces and places where energy is being built, do we really feel the collectives that exist, if a revolutionary situation were to present itself, would be able to legitimately take power and put into practice the necessary changes that humankind needs to see? Would they be able to defend themselves? Would they be able to build among the different oppressed communities? Would they be able to deal with the contradictions that exist among different people, among the same groups of people? and all the differences that exist among even a certain community or a certain nation or a certain race or ethnicity or gender or sexual orientation. If we don't understand that these differences are what really make us strong, and that developing with these differences, developing together to shift these differences not into contradictions that bring us into battle, but contradictions that bring us into collective learning together, because we are so different and because we all live different conditions and different circumstances and in different places, and actually be able to use that as a revolutionary tool to develop something different that looks like us, that looks like African people, that looks like indigenous people, that looks like oppressed people. I really do think that until we recognize that we are continuing to make the same mistakes, I and others are continuing to make the same mistakes as those who have failed before us, then we really will not be able to do anything else. No matter how much we try, no matter how much we commit, no matter how much we burn out, it's not going to just magically change because we've tried so hard. If our formulations, if our approaches, if our practices, our behaviors, our ways of building relationships are not correct, are not meaningful, are not genuine, are not consistent, are not militant, and aren't built on a real scientific approach, I don't mean like chemistry. I mean like, okay, a scientific approach to a fire is that you spray at the base. A scientific approach to a conflict is you resolve it squarely, openly, and honestly. A scientific approach to a problem is dealing with it in an intelligent and correct manner, not bringing in presupposed ideas, but actually studying and understanding what is happening and what needs to happen to get us to a point that we need to be at. And that is a point where the people who are exploited, the people who are dealing with the consequences of being poor, of being unhoused, of being unemployed, of living in a nation under imperialism, of war, of disease, of climate change, these folks, through the development of their own organizations, their own struggles, and their own class consciousness, this process, the ultimate characteristic of something fundamentally different. But we know that just because someone happens to be gay, or just because someone happens to be trans, or just because someone happens to be from Africa, or African, or indigenous, or from this country or that country, it doesn't mean what they say or do is correct. It doesn't mean that they are generalizable. And it doesn't mean that what they say is true for all in the same circumstances. If someone comes out and says, I'm a trans woman and I believe X, that does not mean that all trans women follow suit. That means one trans woman believes this thing, and some people can support her or can criticize her. But the trans community, the African community, the Asian community, the Puerto Rican community, the Diné community, the Navajo community, the Guatemalan nation, the Nicaraguan nation, the people of Cuba, the people of China, the people of India, the people of Russia, and the people of Ukraine are not one, line, one base, one collective, all sharing the same consciousness. They are people with thoughts, ideas, experiences, emotions, some of which are incorrect. Many of us are incorrect about a lot of things. You know, you shouldn't be fearful of that. I and every one of us will be wrong, make mistakes, fail, and have to pick up from that and try again. That is human nature. That is historical development. Mistakes are made. Advancement, development, it's not on a straight line. Nobody just goes from point A to point B. You can't even go one point to the next without a whole lot in between. So, all of this to say, you know, we really got to take seriously what's going on right now. We look at the conditions that the world is facing. We're on the brink of climate collapse and environmental desecration, mass extinction, nuclear fallout. We have wars going and growing all over. We have exploitation and oppression advancing, finding new, cleverer ways to develop and exploit people even further. And we have new people, new groups, joining the ranks of oppressors, trying to convince their people, trying to convince the masses that somehow this is positive for them because someone who is African or someone who's a woman or someone who's a lesbian happens to be saying we need to exploit Africa or we need to go to war with China or we need to lower taxes on corporations. Just because someone of a specific identity puts these ideas forward does not inherently make them correct. We have to take a step back. I and so many others are confused, a bit lost, not really knowing where to go, who to join, what to do. You know, so many of us sit at home every single day reading articles, reading theory, talking to people on social media, without actually feeling a want or a need to join organizations, to form collectives. We are simply contented with having some kind of revolutionary ideals without actually acting upon them. We're content with playing revolutionary on social media for some likes, but uncomfortable somehow with actually being a revolutionary. It's not a secret that putting forward these ideas, one doesn't need to be too concrete in what they mean to face state repression. One doesn't need to talk about anything violent to go to jail, to be arrested. One can simply put forward humanistic and logical arguments about the need for socialism and be attacked as if they are a terrorist. We know people from around the world throughout history who weren't even communists, who weren't even socialists, who just believed in the need for the masses of Africa, the masses of Asia, or the masses of the Americas to own and control their resources, their governments, their education systems, their healthcare systems, their production, their militaries, etc. That was it. And they killed so many. They overthrew our bands. They overthrew, almost forgot his name. They overthrew Allende. They killed Maurice Bishop. They killed Thomas Sankara. They killed Patrice Lumumba. They killed Fred Hampton. They killed Martin Luther King. They killed Malcolm X. But as all of these who came before us have said in their own ways, you can kill, you can arrest, you can harass, and you can isolate revolutionaries, but you can't kill the revolution. And that's something we have to think about seriously, because a lot of us will face different forms of repression. We know the names of Leonard Peltier, Mumia Abu-Jamal, Mutulu Shakur, Sundiata Okoli, Kamau Siddiqui, Sekou Odinga. We know of the Puerto Rican independence movement. We know of the Young Lords. We know of the Brown Berets. We know of the indigenous struggles from AIM to the Dakota Access Pipeline to the water protectors and land defenders of today are facing all kinds of violence. Whether it be losing their jobs, losing their friends, losing their homes, being sanctioned, having their passports taken away, being arrested, sitting in prison, going in and out of jail cells, having to pay for legal fees, being criticized and called out and put in a place of contradiction with even the organizations they belong with for taking particularly militant stances. We know that the most revolutionary, the most advanced, the most organized always face the brunt of violence by the state and by all reactionary forces. And because of this, rather than actually standing firm together with the oppressed masses around the world, we cower in fear. We passively participate in work or life or school. We go on social media and we scroll. We share articles, we comment, we post. But we don't organize. And when we organize, we do not organize in a way that is concretely militant, consistent, dedicated, studied, and practical. We certainly do not organize on a genuine humanistic basis, because so many people, human beings, who should and would join organizations to fight against oppression, don't. Because they don't feel that these organizations represent them or their interests. And that is a true sign of our inability to correctly organize. If we look at the movements that have existed, and I mean movements here in the way that we clearly and continuously hear them used by different, more conscious people than myself, the loose-formed, disorganized, and spontaneous movements that exist predominate. The co-opted, anti-socialist, anti-revolutionary, anti-communist organizations are the most paid, the most coordinated. I'm talking churches, I'm talking the Boy Scouts, I'm talking liberals, I'm talking the Democratic Party. They got the money. They got the team. They got the plan. They got the strategy, they got the tactics, and they're acting upon them. Many of us, instead of actually taking up this charge and saying, shit, we're being out-organized by fucking Boy Scouts. We instead... again, play revolutionary. Rather than actually taking these criticisms seriously, we dig our feet in. We get angry. We demobilize. We leave groups. I've done this, others have done this in moments where it made sense or it didn't. And we see that more and more people who actually want to get organized don't feel that they can. But that very same trajectory of violence, repression, disorganization and misinformation will create a circumstance where the majority of the population who does not see themselves in these organizations will build organizations that they do see themselves in, because they will be the ones to form them. This has happened before, and it is happening now. And we must, as people who call ourselves organizers, conscious workers, revolutionaries, socialists, anarchists, Marxist-Leninists, Maoists, communists, what have you, we have to take the responsibility seriously if we actually think that we have anything to offer to these different movements. Because if we want movements to develop into organizations, an organization to develop into revolution, then we have to take real, serious, thought-out, strategic steps to build something different. And it is possible. And it is coming. Whether I or any of us are a part of it, whether any of us are here on this earth, whether we are incarcerated, whether we are in exile, whether folks are in the underground, it doesn't matter. The struggle for liberation of all oppressed people will continue necessarily and naturally, because oppression and exploitation are continuing. And no one who is enslaved, who is exploited, who is dehumanized, and incapable of taking control of their own lives and their own destiny will allow themselves to continue living on this way for very long without either turning to revolutionary movements or reactionary politics and harmful practices such as addiction, such as isolation, and such as trying to exploit their fellow human beings. So we have a real opportunity for change. But change can come both in a positive and a negative sort. So it is up to us to decide what sort of change, what quality, what content, what practice, what organization, and what actual power we are going to develop through conscientizing, through organizing, through practice, through building relationships, and through making moves with people who are suffering the brunt of this violence today. This is the only way that we will see an end to the conditions and the circumstances that billions of people around the world are living in today. So I say before we go, first of all power to the people of Niger, to the people of Burkina Faso, to the people of Mali, to the people of Guinea, and to all Africans around the world. Down with French, U.S., and European imperialism. We must stand firmly against any and all attempts to invade, occupy, or overthrow democratic, popular, and conscious, organized movements, coups, governments, or revolutions, no matter whether or not we believe that they have the correct line, or whether or not we agree entirely with their platform. We must study, we must learn, and we must criticize where criticizing is appropriate. Not simply because this or that government is not the perfect socialist thing that we would like to see, but instead that we learn from the mistakes that are evident in rebellions, revolutions, and movements organizations, collectives, people, and groups around the world, and we incorporate those lessons into our struggles. Because we cannot change the characteristics of the struggles where we do not actually participate. So we must focus primarily where we are, where we're going, and where we can have a real impact, and not focus on continuously complaining about African, Asian, and American peoples from such a racist, Western, imperialistic mindset. If we want to criticize, we must criticize scientifically. And more importantly, we must have grounds to stand on, organization to show our authority, and reason for criticizing. Because otherwise, we are just adding on to the pile of imperialism and oppression that is coming from the United States and Europe. The last thing I'll say is that if anyone wants to engage in this or any other conversations I've put forward, please reach out to indefenseofliberation@gmail.com and consider coming on the show to have an open discussion whether you agree or disagree with any of the points that I put forward here. I would like to open myself up to any and all criticism, and I would also like to open myself up to real challenges and real organizational tasks and responsibilities to move forward in a principled way. I'm not going to waste my time and have you on here talking about bullshit, but if you want to come on and talk about something real, let's coordinate. All power to the people. Vive la revolution. Long live the people of Africa, of Asia, and of Latin America, and also the peoples of Europe and Turtle Island who are revolutionary and who are fighting for liberation. Long live struggle. Long live revolution. All power to the people.